welcome once again to another exciting episode of Tales of Azeron.
Azeron.
Ooh, that was nice. That was nice.
Like it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what are you saying, Chelsea?
Nothing at all. Minding my business over here.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm your Dungeon Master, Roberto, and with me at the virtual table, as always, we have Jax playing Kira Ryder.
Hello, everyone.
Josue playing Alden Wallaby.
Hello, and welcome back.
Chelsea playing Sraeth Aldedonnan.
Greetings, young ones.
And finally, to round out a ragtag group of misfits, we have Doran playing Cato Sturgis.
Yo.
So before we get started, I do want to let yo ho ho.
I started to do it. I was like, that's fucking dumb. So this is fine.
Well, now it's out in the world. So
yeah, and it's out in the world that I think what I did is fucking dumb. So
before we get started on this week's game, I do want to let you all know that if you want to get more info on Tales of Azeron, the memes, the inside jabber between party members and all that, we now have an official Discord community that you could join. The info is on our Instagram bio and also on our Twitter, and it's also in our show notes. So if you are listening to this on any of your favorite podcasting sources, you can take a look at the show notes and you will see a Discord link. Click on that sucker and become part of the community. So yeah, that is my big news of the week. Otherwise, I think we're going to get started with our usual, which is a quick recap of what happened last time. Last session, the party said goodbye to Ursne as they traveled back to Saphir to put Chasta and her son Eldritch down to rest. Along the way, Sraeth received correspondence back from those they had sent letters to. The party received their upgraded equipment, and Lenny, the fungi magician, took some of Soriath's creature samples. Cato also delivered the news of Chasta's passing to his mother back home. The funeral pyre is set. The guests have arrived. It is a gray day. It seems to be sprinkling rain. You see, the guests are all sitting down. The pyre is set. You could see the linens that are covering Chasta and her son. They are in an embrace. Alden kind of looks at you, Cato.
How are you holding up?
Say that again?
How are you holding up? Yeah, I mean,
but fine.
Okay, good. It looks like there's a lot of people here.
Yeah, not surprised. Chasta was popular, you know, did a lot for a lot of people. So
that's good. If you don't mind, once we get started, I have a couple words to say in the beginning, and then I'll kind of hand it off to you and let you take sure. Over.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Floria is just greeting people, and people are kind of giving each other hugs, wiping tears away. Floria, your mom, Cato, comes up to you and,
well, I think we're ready to start. Did you want to say anything first, or?
I
don't have to. There's no pressure on you.
No, I know. My priest friend offered to say something to open the proceedings. So I'd say let him do that and we can go from there.
All right, that sounds good. Where is your friend again?
I'll point him out, probably having to point down a little bit.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Yes, he's just so darn small. thank you so much for volunteering to speak. It means a lot.
Of course.
I just don't know I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just it's a little rough.
No, it's okay. Funerals are harder on everybody, especially the closest ones. It's not my first time, and hopefully we've made things a little easier.
She nods and goes to sit down.
Yeah, I'll just give a quick look at Kira. Just kind of mention, okay, we're getting ready, and get up to the front, and I'll kind of direct to start talking to everybody. All right. Thank you all. Thank you for coming. I have a few words to say before we'll let the Cato and Floria kind of talk and take over. I'll grab a piece of paper that kind of wrote down some things, and I'll start saying, we are gathered here today on this chosen place to honor the memories and celebrate the lives of Chasta and Eldrick. We are gathered in peace to witness these sacred rites and say farewell to both. Let us take a few moments in preparing our hearts before we continue. And I'll pause for like 30 seconds or so.
As you pause, you kind of just take a look at the crowd. Everyone's, you know, showing some kind of emotion. Give me a perception check real quick.
Okay. Let's see. Hey, it's a natural one.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
All right. I'm too invested. You're too invested. This is a very, very intense moment.
Okay. I continue on. O gentle Lord of the Sun, grant thy strength to those present. In strength, grant understanding. In understanding, compassion. May this rite be blessed in your presence. Within this sacred space, we call upon the ancestors and the gods of those who are grieving, that their presence help in this time of loss and guide the lives gathered here. And I'll kind of look over to Cato and just kind of direct them and see if he wants to say anything or whatever he wants to do next.
Yeah, I'll wander over. And I guess, death is always tough, and, you know, Chasta, I mean, you all know, really, truly, deeply loved her son, and Elfric came home, and I think it came at a price none of us would have expected, and I, you know, Chasta being who she is, you really kind of expect someone like that to live forever, you know, and you know, for my family, she's done so much. I mean, I wouldn't know half the things I know if not for her. And I think everyone's presence just shows what she was able to do for not just me, but everyone around Saphir. And so it's, you don't want to say goodbye, but here we are. And so, you know, I could sit here and tell you various memories I've had of growing up out on the coast, but I think more so than dwelling on myself and all of that, I hope you all are able to just take some time as this continues to think about what she did for you and think about the peace that comes with this. And, you know, to nature she returns to where she loved. I'm gonna walk away.
Your mom starts sobbing.
I'll go walk over to her and just, you know, kind of just sit with her.
She takes your embrace and your shoulder feels damp.
Mm-hmm.
Other people come up and start telling stories and funny anecdotes about Chasta, talking about the time that Chasta healed their pig from, you know, being cured, you know, in the meat sense, and how
Shasta saved their baby when their baby was super sick and got the, you know, things that the baby needed to live. A lot of stories like that, where, you know, Shasta was just a person to help their fellow man. And finally, the last person steps down. There's a bit of a pause. Someone starts walking towards to speak, and then they kind of shuffle back and sit back down. They stand up again, and they look like they're kind of fighting the urge to say something, but they go and sit down. Doesn't stand up again.
Do I recognize them at all from my time around town?
Go ahead and give me a straight up intelligence check.
Well, this is going to be, oh great, that's right, my int's 8. I'm dumb. So it's a 10.
Nice. Well, it is just enough to remember that you've seen this man before, this gnome. He looks different now because the years have not been kind to him, but he has an eye patch, and he has a one of those mustache beard combos that look really cool on young people, but even cooler on old people. I'll let your imagination take that one, because I honestly don't remember what that beard style is called. Like the one that the Green Arrow has.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Thank you.
The King of Rohan, but trim.
Yeah, that one. So he is, you've seen him before. You don't remember his name, but you remember that he used to come visit Shasta every so often.
Hmm. Okay. I'll, knowing that he's like a known quantity and probably just, you know, it's a tough thing to get up in front of everybody, I'll just notice him and not do anything. If there's like a long lull, I guess I would take kind of charge of the situation and go and say, well, and, you know, go to, I guess I would say, I would grab up whatever torch or there is to start the pyre and say.
I imagine Kira is like holding the torches, like that is her job today, is just being ready with those things.
Yeah. So, yeah, Kato would walk up and then go and hold a torch and say, well, what's to say? Thank you all for sharing. Memories last as long as you keep them. So keep them. And then I'll light the pyre.
You light the pyre. The fire starts to spread slowly. The sprinkling of the weather is almost slightly fighting off the flames, but eventually the flames take over and they consume the pyre.
I mean, I guess at this point it would just be watching it burn since we set this whole shindig up. I guess we're waiting till the end, till it's out. So I think from there, yeah, I mean, Kato probably wouldn't say anything for a while after that.
As you guys are watching the pyre burn, Alden stands back up and he stands, you know, before the pyre and everyone there.
Yeah, just kind of stand up. I stand next to Kato. Just kind of give him a little nod. And as a final prayer or a final words, I'll just say, just as every tree is rooted in deep earth, so each of us is rooted within those we meet and connect. Just as fire can destroy, it can also be used to cleanse and make way for life to grow in you. Shasta, Eldric, you will not be forgotten. And I just stand by Kato and everybody just for the duration. Don't say anything else.
The fire burns. The people kind of stand up and start saying their goodbyes. A group of people surround your mom, Kato, and they start talking.
As soon as I see that, I immediately walk over.
You walk on over and you hear,
See, the thing is, we need a leader after everything that has befallen our town. And, well, you've been here the longest, and it seems just right that you should help our town rebuild and be part of it. I know that you had your issues with some people in the past, but, well, those people were eaten, and I have no idea why they didn't like you, so we all kind of got together and were hoping that you would choose to live in the town and lead us. Your mother is just...
You can give time to think about that.
Yes. Would you mind terribly if, Oh, no, please. I know this is kind of, not the right place to say anything, but, it's just our town really needs someone like you. And, take that as you will. Chasta was a great person in this community, and, we hope that maybe you can, not just fill those shoes, but, outgrow them in the, you know, sense of, you know what I'm trying to say. I'm going to leave. And he turns around and starts heading back. You see one of the people that were with him. Man, you really biffed that, didn't you? Shut up, Michael. They walk off. That's really an honor, to be called up to serve now, isn't it?
Well, you know, I was going to remark that the townspeople were surprisingly nice, given everything I've heard about why you left. And I'll admit I'm a little, you know what, I would say, let's sleep on it.
Oh, but did you hear? It seems like they all were eaten, so I have no problem with it now.
But
blessing in disguise, I guess. She laughs and starts crying. I'm sorry. It's a little bit grim. No.
It's shocking, right? So my instinct is, you know, maybe tonight should belong to Chasta, and we should talk about it tomorrow.
You're right. I'm gonna go make some food for all of us. I'm sure everyone will be hungry.
Ooh, no, is there not like a plan for taking everyone? Like, this is a moment where the people who are grieving don't make food. Other people make food. Can we take her to the tavern or something?
You guys can go to Mama Gristle's if you'd like.
No.
The tavern in the town as well. You know.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
She starts walking back. Ugh. Slowly walking back.
Sarayev does not know what's going on, having been at the periphery of this gathering for the entire time, ensuring that Cato and Alden as speakers could see them, but not being amidst the mourners, and hasn't decided to come up to interact with Cato's mom, but sort of steps so that Cato's mom could see them, and they're watching Flora leave and not quite understanding, like, if there's this hesitation, because they intend to watch until the ash goes. So that's what they're doing in the background.
Give me a perception check, Sarayeth.
Oh wow, at the worst possible time, I guess.
Awesome. Do it with disadvantage.
Okay. I guess.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
I am Percy. Oh, 19 and a 12. So let's just do that.
Wow.
And then we go. We do another one. It's a 12.
Okay. So 12 total?
12. Hold on. I'm sorry. I have to do this thing. Yeah. Okay. There we go. A 13. Okay. I'm sorry. Math is still hard.
I'm expecting you to be like, have so many modifiers to your score. After all of that, you pull out one.
Sarayev is not perceptive, they're investigative. It's how their brain works.
It's true. Perception is wisdom.
They have to try really hard.
It's enough to notice that the old gnome that was standing up and sitting down during the you know, ceremony is just kind of standing there watching the pyre burn.
Yeah, I'm just not silently touching that with a 10-foot pole. there's no way. I will witness, but I will not engage.
Floria sees you in their periphery. It's Sir Sarayeth, right?
Nods.
Thank you for watching over Cato.
That is true. I will continue to do so.
And I appreciate it. He's a good boy, but he has a hard time with processing things.
Sarayeth's like eyebrows emotionally. Raise a little bit.
Which I sense you do too, so I guess you're kindred spirits.
I suppose one could liken us to kindred spirits.
Well, I guess I'm gonna go prepare food, yes?
Forgive me for inquiring, but is this something that will help the grieving process and is part of the funerary rites? Traditionally, isn't others supposed to bring you food?
Well, tradition is tradition and wealth. Cooking helps me.
Then I say
it helps me process tradition. Things.
Brilliant.
She nods and walks off.
Continue watching the pyre.
The pyre keeps on burning.
Yeah, for the record, the like, no, other people make food was like Jax. Kira has no idea how these things should go. So.
The fire continues to burn. The gray sky starts to clear up a little bit, and you start to see streaks of sun shine through. Just as the fire is dying down, you're there, Cato, just kind of watching it. And then right next to you, the gnome sidles up.
Oh, I was about to sidle up to him, so this is perfect.
Cato.
Long time no see.
Aye.
You doing okay?
I'd ask you the same question.
I guess the answer is no for both of us.
Right you be, right you be. Here you, you're playing the role of hero now.
Oh.
Heard you saved the town. All high and mighty with your hero ways.
Oh, you misunderstand a lot, my friend. I came home and I heard there, you know, this wasn't me being a hero, man. This was just me having a feeling to go home. And when I got here, there was trouble. And here we are.
Just choose when you go home, eh?
I don't like it, but yeah.
Yeah, the wind carries us all.
Yeah.
Seems like you're doing good. You with your friends.
Doing all right. Figuring it out.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
You know, I had a thought occur to me as I was talking about Shasta and Elfric. I don't think I ever met his dad.
Nah, you didn't.
Did you ever meet him?
His dad is a... well, his dad is a bastard of a sort. Left his child. Left Shasta there by herself. What kind of bastard does that? Leaves his family all alone and chases his fortunes. It's a horrible man. Doesn't deserve to live. You'd say. You'd say that, wouldn't you?
Well, I'd say they were young. That's why I left.
Young and foolish.
Yep.
Just leaving his family.
I'll put an arm on his shoulder.
He shrugs it off, not violently, but just like no.
Well, you know, it's a tough world, and you know, it's honestly all. I wouldn't say this to many people, but, you know, curses happen and they're better this way now than how they were near the end.
You're a good lad. You're a good lad, Cato.
Yeah, because...
Shasta was glad to have you.
I wouldn't be who I am without her. I owe everything to her. My mom owes everything to her. And you know, it's you think you're gonna repay it in some way and you never really can. And you just, when you screw up, you gotta just take the lessons, I guess. Move forward. And hope that past doesn't chase you too much.
I.
But yeah. But no, the thing is for them, there's a wider world out there that tangled them up and nothing would have changed that. Fucking Faye. He'll just kind of say.
He turns over to you as you say that.
What did you say? Cato.
Pause.
What did you say?
All right, look, man. I'm be straight up. I'm getting a feeling about you. And the way you've been around. And the way you're talking now. Are you Elfric's father?
I was at a point.
Then
until I left my family.
That's not what this is about. This stays between you and me, but you deserve the truth. Thing that did them in, portal to the Feywild, Grand Fey, cursed them, turned them into monsters. Been like that for years. I left too, didn't notice. No one noticed. That's why I think, despite everything, at least they're free. This ain't elf shit. I know. This is like other realm power beyond what my comprehension is. Because Shasta always blamed the elves and she was wrong. Kinda. Well, she was wrong. Straight up. But it was the greater Fey that did it.
Cato. Thank you for informing me of this. One more question.
Sure.
Where did you find this entrance into the Feywild?
It's gone. closed behind us. But out in the woods.
Shame. He pats you. You're a good lad, Kato.
Nowadays.
I guess old Cinque will see you around.
Well, we got a connection, and if I run into you, let's take care of each other.
He starts walking into the forest. And he disappears. Alden, you see Kato talking to this short gnome, and he walks off into the forest after their conversation.
I go up to Kato, just look at him quizzically. First thing I ask him, what was his name again?
Cinque.
Cinque? Okay.
I'm spelling it Cinquay, but I don't
completely
know.
Off. So close.
I hate you, Berto. I hate you. No.
Well, no. I'll get the real spelling later. But anyway.
Also, maybe like, I think like maybe at this point, if Kira feels like there's nothing really more to do, she might actually go help Kato's mom cook.
Okay.
And she's just like, I feel desperate to do a thing to assist. And yeah. Nothing can be done here, so away.
Away indeed. As you walk away, Kira, you start walking towards the house, and you hear a strange, I would say almost like a beeping sound coming from your bags.
A beeping sound?
You know, kind of like a, you know, like meep, meep. Maybe not okay. A beeping. Let's say a meeping sound.
A meeping sound. Well, meeping. Sure. I'm going to have a moment where I just kind of look at the bags and then I open them to see if I can figure out what is making the meeping noise.
Okay. You open your bags.
Yeah.
I
would want to get away from everybody. So like, if it's starting to make a noise.
You're a good distance away. You're a good distance away from everybody as you were heading over to Kato's house. So as you open the bags, you see your tome there in your bag. And that's where the sound is coming from.
Love of. Okay. I don't know what to do. If I opened it and it fucks things up, I really don't want to fuck up this town more. but it's just going to keep... Is it... Does
What's
it do
the worst
anything?
That could happen?
Oh, boy. Does it... Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to put the book so it's like mostly in the bag.
Okay.
So that if it explodes, maybe I can close the bag and like catch things in it.
Sure.
Where is your bathroom, buddy?
I walked away without one, stupidly. So here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Meep. We are going to open the tome inside the bag.
Okay. You open it up halfway because that's as far as you can open it in your bag.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
So keep meeping?
Meep.
Oh, God.
Meep.
The bag is too small for me to open it up all the way inside the bag?
Oh, yeah. Meep. God. Meep.
Okay, yes, fine. I, like, move off the path.
Meep.
So at least, okay, yeah, I move off the path. Try Meep. To get, like, into a... Copse of trees, however you say that word, so that it's like contained.
Meep.
All right, reopen the book.
You open the book.
I whisper to the book, why are you like this? right before I open it.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just making sure. Just making sure. You open the book. Nothing happens. But you do see a quickly ink-blotted version of a map of the general area. And you see a large circle that is pulsing whenever it meeps. It's going into the forest.
It's continuing to meep?
Yes, but now that you've opened it, it is less protruding.
Like quieter now? Like a little bit. Smaller meep?
Smaller meep. So instead of meep, it is now meep. But every time it meeps, the area in the forest, the diameter of the whatever it's highlighting just pulses.
Does it look like the gnome? Like walking into the forest?
This is not shaped like any person or thing.
Right, but like given that it's a map of my general surroundings and I'm watching a dot walk into the forest, does it look like...
This dot is not walking in the forest. It is already in the forest.
Already in the forest. I see. Mm-hmm. Is the dot moving within the forest?
No, you cannot tell. Mm. This is just a general area. This is not pinpointing a location.
Ah.
So if you walked into the center of this circle that is currently pulsing, you would not find what you were looking for. Mm. It is a general area.
Mm.
It continues to softly meep and pulse at you.
Great. If I move, like if I take like four steps in a direction, does like the circle move?
You take a step to the left and then a step to the right.
To the right.
You pull your
hands on my hands.
Knees in tight. Yep. You do the time warp and nothing happens. The dot stays in the same place.
Great. I mean, hold on. I have a problem with this. I don't know that Kira knows how the pelvic thrust.
Ooh, you know, you're right. That's a good call.
Wow.
That's a good call.
She can know how to pelvic thrust, baby. Wow. Figure it out. Just because she's never seen it before.
I mean, the great sword requires many movements.
Okay.
Severing people's spine among them, which requires a pelvic thrust.
Wow, sure does require great. Thrusting. That is true. All right, here we go. All right.
Wow, that was really great.
I'm going to put the book and my bags down. I'm going to put the book in. So if I close the book, what happens if I close the book? She like starts to close the book and is like, no, wait, what if that makes the whole thing disappear? Fuck. Okay.
Sariath, your eyes pick up Kira freaking out in the middle of a path, like somewhere off in like a shrubbery that's near Kato's house. They're like kind of, they have their book and it's open and they're looking around like John Travolta, you know,
oh my goodness.
In Pulp Fiction, just not knowing what to do.
Read? What is happening? I better investigate.
Sariath walks over to you, Kira.
Okay, great.
I like sort of slide with my foot up, like pop. Say something, red miss.
I imagine that Sariath like Kira didn't notice Sariath until like very close.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sariath is like basically on your shoulder.
Oh God.
Oh, hello. Sariath. Is that a map? Huh. I like maps. Why is it doing that thing?
I don't know. It just started doing the thing, and I need it not to do the thing. Sariath, we can't deal with this right now. We have this funeral thing, and Kato has to have dinner with this mom.
Take a breath. Inhale really slowly, deep in. Stop breathing, and then breathe in really quickly again for 2 seconds.
Oh, wait, what?
And then let it out. Yes, do that. All right, I'll gently take the book while you breathe in.
Kira
deeply
tries to confusedly
on.
Tries to breathe in the weird pattern that I just. I don't think this is helping.
Okay. Then count to 7 and then breathe out and count to 10. All right. All right. Let's try knowledge arcana. Ooh.
I feel like Kira's going to pass out.
19 plus 2.
Okay, I need you to blow into this bag until you hyperventilate and pass out so I can read your book.
But I got a 21.
I have a bottle of wine that I was going to give to Kato and his mom.
Shh, 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 shh. I'm trying to listen to the book.
What?
So.
Tell me your secrets.
The book meeps at you gently, calmly, repeatedly.
I would say locator spell mixed over and transposed with a... Is this a shifting cartographer's scribe spell? What? Is there anything that I can learn magically from this?
So with your role, you are able to learn that it is basically a scrying spell that just kind of moves around with the subject generally, doesn't pinpoint their location, but gives you a broad overview of the location that they are currently in.
And when did this start doing this alert?
Like just now, like just a moment ago.
So it's a combination of alarms.
Do you think we can close it?
We don't know what the trigger is. But what we do know is this is time sensitive or in a nearby location.
It can't be time sensitive. No time to deal with this right now. She needs my life to not be exploding on all of my friends for 5 fucking seconds.
Soraya is just like staring at Kira like, beep, beep. And then like put like cradles the book with like one arm, like a gentle like baby. And then like slowly reaches out their hands and then like takes it back and then says, Pat, I think that this is something that we all care about. I do think that we should get the others on
No, we can't. No, we are letting...
lean back, clutching the book to their chest.
No, we are. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to handle this.
Oh, yes. And is it sunset or twilight out right now? In the dark?
We can't do anything anyway. We're just going to leave the book here.
Oh.
And let
would
it...
you rather have some monster wandering in the woods and ignore the call of this book, possibly? I mean, potentially you could make things worse by not attending to this now. Time sensitive.
Lawyered.
So if you would like to not explode on your friends, then perhaps addressing the underlying issues might come in handy. You said that you would unconditionally accept, and you don't require an explanation for everything. So I will not explain to you the multitude of reasons why we should attend to this now and alert our friends. That one over there, that one. Soraya points, obviously. Like, not calling them out, but, like, obviously being like, there's something going on here.
No, Kato needs to be with his mom right now. This is not a... Okay. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to go get Alden. You stay here with the book, and I'm going to go get Alden. And then
Alden!
Don't call Alden over
here. Oh, I'm sorry. Kato! Hello? No, don't call Alden over here!
You guys turn your heads at the same time.
Anyway, I rolled like a 20 on perception on that. So yeah, I fucking hear it.
I rolled an 11.
No, regardless, you guys turn your heads at exactly the same time. You see Soraya calling your names and you see Kira freaking out and like immediately just like cover their face.
When she says Kato's name, I like turn and then I'm like, hi, it's fine.
Alden,
just Alden. Kato, you stay right there. Just, you're fine.
I look at Kato, I shrug my shoulders, and I'm say, okay, and I walk over to Soraya and Kira.
I mean, for funsies, I rolled a 20 on insight. So,
oh yeah, definitely higher than
something. Well, I just had a weird interaction with a man with a Van Dyke beard. So
that's what it's called—a Van Dyke beard.
I looked it up for you. That's thanks, the I commitment, appreciate you. Baby. I
love, wait, so it's not King it. Of Rohan at all? Because Rohan has the side roads right down. Anyway, the yeah. Not important. You know what's important? Today's book.
So, yeah, you had a weird interaction. You want to have another one?
Yeah, absolutely. My life has been nothing but a series of weird interactions, if you really think about it. So
that is very true.
You guys walk up to both Kira and Sriath, and then you hear it. Meep.
Sriath gestures.
No. Everything is fine. Everything's fine. We're going to close the book. We're going to close. No, we can't close the book. You're right.
No.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. I thought we weren't using that phrase anymore.
Are you breathing again?
Listen. Okay. Here's the thing. The book started making a weird noise, and then I opened it, which I realize now I should not have done, but I did do it. Sorry, don't make that face at me.
We are only human.
And now there's a map thing. But the important part is that I and Sriath and Alden are going to handle it. And Kato, you're going to go be with your mom and we're going to handle it. And it's all going to be fine. That's the story.
What are we handling? What's going on?
I don't know what we're handling, but the important part is that we are going to handle it. Or I will handle it. I think we should revisit letting me handle it. Looks at Sarah pleadingly, come on, this is maybe.
I don't believe that you can see in the dark, and it is getting dark. No, is it not? What time is it again?
Well, Betsy glows now, so.
Oh, really? Can you still see further out than 30 feet and understand where the best ambush spots are in trees? Because Kato knows that, potentially. Right, Kato?
And I can't see in the dark.
I have a shiny shield.
Yeah, see? Look at that. You need him already. And if we are not there to help you and you get ambushed, then think of the terrible feelings we will possess knowing that we abandoned you and that you're lying dead somewhere where your body can never be reclaimed to hold a proper funeral.
Alden is so proud of Sriath right now.
Kira is the anime crouching down where she is just arms overhead. We're going to figure this out. We're going to figure it out.
Seems like we Kato can go and tell his mother that he is going to check something outside real quick and then potentially be back before a monster comes up and sidelines her again. Right? I mean, that's what this is. I believe it's highlighting another of those horrible creatures that has come out of this book and is leading Kira on her quest. If you remember, the riddle has indicated that there will be clues and much tragedy, but not in the way that we expect. Do you not remember the warning riddle? It concerns you, your prophecy, Kira.
All right. Before we continue, let's first off, Kato, how are you? Okay, wrong question. Do you feel up to coming with us?
I
know it's a lot, but
I need a
distraction.
Yeah, no, if you don't, Kato should make this decision. You're right, Alden. Kato should make this decision. And Kato, if you need to stay home with your mom, which I strongly think that you should do, because who's going to eat her food? You need to be with her right now and we'll handle the thing. But it's up to you. You're right. But I think you should not go.
Sriath, how close do you think this thing is?
Quick approximation, DM. Let's go.
So by taking a look at the map and where you guys are, this is maybe 2 miles, 2.5 miles into the forest. So from the edge of the forest, it's about 2.5 miles in.
If we walk quickly, it will be 12 minutes approximately for each mile. So 24 minutes. And then extrapolating that by pi, I would say that a thorough investigation would take us no more than an hour and a half.
That's close. That's real close.
And it seems like something we need to take care of, especially if your mom is alone here
Yeah. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, I guess how close was the, like, pyre to my mom's house?
The pyre was maybe about, 100 feet away or so.
Oh, so we did it, like, right there. Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah, Kato would furrow his brow and be like, I had an awkward conversation about leaving your family behind, but hour and a half I can do.
Okay.
You can even take the time to alert her.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I will scamper over.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know what other word to describe it. And I guess just say, that there seems to be some indication of some danger nearby and, trouble follows me wherever I go and I got to protect her and I'm out. I'll be back hopefully later tonight.
Wow. Just like that, huh? You're just going to leave right afterwards. I mean, I understand you're a man now and, you've got to take care and protect and all of that. And it's so soon, Kato. I don't want to guilt you or anything, but it's just so soon.
I'm not leaving tonight. Not for the long haul, at least.
How long are you going to be gone? I expect you back?
Couple hours. It's that close.
Oh, dear. If it's a couple hours, I think I can deal. But,
yeah.
I'll try to keep the food warm for you, okay?
I'll be back tonight.
All right. Do you want anything now in the meantime? Got to eat something, no?
Yeah, if I can take a few bowls, if you've got something I can take now and probably mm-hmm. for my friends too.
Yeah.
It's a long story, but there's some sort of book.
Maybe tell me all about it when you come back.
Book
making noise. Tell me later.
My life has gotten so weird. I don't, the world has gone mad.
Well, that's disconcerting, but tell me once you come back.
Yeah, and then I'll bring to-go boxes for everyone, I guess.
So as Kato's bringing you guys back Happy Meals, Alden.
So I did want to say I probably would have gone with Kato, and I would have offered, I can put something up just to protect her in the meantime while we're gone, and something that can, so she's not so alone at the moment. And I'll offer to put up a guardian of faith, which can last up to 8 hours front of her place. And I'll put it in Kato's visage.
Kato ain't going to say no to that.
Yeah.
This version of Kato is more buff.
What?
Much like more swashbuckling debonair.
50% more handsome.
Yes.
50?
Okay. 5%. Very noticeable.
Look, Kato's,
a little twinkle.
Yeah, look, Kato's had a hard life. It's not easy to be 50% more attractive. So,
Only Morgrem could pull that off with his, toad oil beard.
Oh, yeah.
Is it toad oil? That one time. Basilisk.
Oh, that's right.
It exchanged in the first contact.
Sorry, I was thinking about another legendary item that. Don't worry about it.
What?
Don't worry about it.
Still remember the exact scent. Anyway.
So you guys head on back to Kira. Kira, give me a d20 roll, please. In the tower, away from prying eyes. Okay, cool.
Oh, I don't like that.
The DM smiles manically as the rest of us quiver.
No, okay, cool.
All right, you guys are getting ready. to head into the dark forest, back again, once more with feeling.
Kira is incredibly awkward and will not look at Kato.
Sarayeth is saying that I shall use the map and I shall stand away from the light that Olden bears so that we are not tripping on roots in the forest. And I shall plot a path to at least the edge or the circumference of the radius for the circle.
Sure.
The diameter.
Let's go with radius.
Yeah.
So as you guys start walking into the forest, the darkness just swallows you whole. The light coming from your shield, Alden, is very, very bright, and you can see in front of you, but the darkness here seems to be almost darker. The trees seem to be almost reaching out to you, giving that kind of effect. Kato, this feels very different than the woods that you lived by, even though this is the one that you walked into.
Strange. I will notice that and notice how dark it's gotten. And I'm going to cast dark vision on myself and Kira. Alden's got the all y'all. Like, I forget, man.
I don't have dark vision, but I am holding the shield. And it's kind of, I guess it's like fog light, so it's ahead of me.
Okay, well, if you change your mind, let me know.
I mean, how many people can you do it to?
All three of us.
I mean, I'll take it.
All right. There's four of you.
Yeah. Well,
one of these jokers already has dark vision.
I have low light, but there's a difference.
Actually, give it to Sarayeth, because they probably have much better aim.
Oh no, I can only do it really three times meaningfully.
No, yeah. So do it all three, and I can always just use the shield. I just need to see in front of me.
I mean, giving it to Sarayeth wouldn't matter because the way the spell is written is you get dark vision for 60 feet.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. So elves have 60 feet of dark vision, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, 3.5. Back in the days where elves actually used to see thermodynamics instead of actual colors.
So I'll blow my second level spell slots on that.
You blow it, and everyone can now see in the dark, except for Alden, because you gave it to Sarayeth, right?
Or No, I'm not giving it to Sarayeth. Like, okay. I feel like Sarayeth would intervene and say, like...
Because Sarayeth knows the rules of magic much better than Chelsea does.
All right, well, you guys start going into the darkness. And...
darkness.
Yes, you have the choice to attack the darkness.
Reflex.
You get to the edge of where the radius, you get to the radius, the edge of the radius of this area, and you stop. You hear a rustling in the foliage. I don't know if I said that word correctly.
I hide. I hide.
Okay. Does everyone hide?
I mean, I'm literally wearing a shield that shines light. I don't think I can hide anywhere.
So. I mean, you could just press the switch to turn it off. Click.
And now you can still see in the dark. You're welcome.
Yeah. I would have cast aid at fourth level, giving everybody 15 extra hit points.
Okay. Yeah. So as you guys are hiding in the area.
It's very important because I rolled for myself.
Oh, you know what? I was going to give it to you guys.
Oh, no, you cannot give. Because guess what?
Everybody give me a stealth check.
The roll was a 1.
Ooh, that's
which
beautiful.
Is a 14. I just feel like Sarayeth is like hit in the face with Alden's beam of light.
As the noise hits you, Sarayath, you kind of panic for a second and try to hide, and you turn in the wrong direction and get blinded by Alden's shield, causing you to stumble and fall.
No.
Everybody else, you guys, give me them stealth rolls.
So I did a disadvantage. I got a 20 and a 15, but so total is the 17.
Nice.
I do feel, though, that, like, does everybody, like, try to hide? Because if Alden's not trying to hide, then Kira wouldn't try to hide.
Apparently Sarayath just flailed, according to your visions.
So. Right. Yeah. Right. Like, if Sarayath fell flat on their face, then they would be like, oh, no. Like,
Alden would have probably gone next to a tree through the bush, probably wouldn't have seen, like, Kira, knowing they would have, they normally are successful in hiding. He would assume that they would have been like, oh, they're okay.
Okay. So, did you choose to hide or no?
Yeah, I mean, not if I saw Sarayath flail. Like, if I felt like somebody wasn't able to hide, then I would not hide. If that makes sense.
All right, cool. So I will take it that Kato and Alden did hide.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys hide in the bushes nearby. Kira just kind of like, oh noes, and goes to try and pick up Sarayath, who is just like, ah. And somebody comes out of the bushes opposite of you guys.
I checked the book.
What are you doing here, Kato?
Oh, it's gruff.
Oh. Well,
it's the gnome, Cinque.
Yeah. Hard to explain, but a sense of danger.
His words are a bit darker than usual. Something's awry.
Agreed.
These your friends?
They are, yeah. Helped big old heroes with me.
Sorry, I dust themselves off.
Aren't you an elf? Aren't you supposed to be all dainty and dexterous, not falling on your arse?
Well, I think it was actually my... Never mind. Yes, I am. In fact, I... should be.
Right embarrassed you are.
Okay, I don't know that there's call to be rude here, sir.
Oh,
they're
a big one.
Thanks. We are...
I've never seen a lass as tall as ye.
And I've never known someone to make so many obvious statements right in a row, but here we are. So... Anywho, did you see anything in the forest where you just came from?
Yeah, I saw ye.
What about this unusual darkness that you have noted something as awry? Is it more intuition, or is there something in the plants?
Ah, it's a hunter's wit.
Mmm. Looks over to Kato. Hunter's wit.
Well,
Kato's a fine hunter, but he's a little wet behind the ears still to be a hunter with my renown.
Well, I spent a little much time with my ears actually wet to probably be a hunter in woods like these.
Mm. Well put. But no, the woods is darker. Seems like there's a spookiness, almost an eerie, evil aura.
Can I roll insight on this guy?
What are you trying to discern?
I just like feel weird. I don't. First of all, Kira is distrustful of him, or irritated at him. I guess it's more accurate.
Sure.
He's, and then now he's just like hunter's wit or whatever. Like, what is that? Nah. Sorry.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 6 plus 1 is 7. So here we are.
He looks old. He looks to know what he's talking about.
So, is this book changing? Like, Sarayath, like, puts the book up by their face and, like, sort of, like, looks at it. Like,
What's with the book?
Changed? Oh, I like books.
you know, elf and all.
Oh, right.
Hides their faces. Is there any shifting going on with the circle? None whatsoever?
Nope.
And we're at the center of it?
You guys are on the outskirts of it. You guys have not entered it yet.
All right. Cato, you said that you are well acquainted with this gentle gnome?
Well, Yeah.
He puts his hand up. And he bolts into the woods.
Oh, well, there goes our source of information about the local area, I suppose.
Cato bolts right after him.
Oh, great. No, I'm not right.
Bye, Kara goes after Cato.
Okay.
So here we go. Yeah,
we follow. I mean...
Right.
Can I please get a... Give me a survival roll, please. Everybody.
Terrible. Still, so we have 14.
8 plus 3, so I got an 11.
Yeah, 19 for the nature boy.
Nice.
12 for the pally.
All right.
For the what?
Is it pally?
Oh, okay.
So that's a pretty standard nickname.
Yeah, it's a pretty standard nickname for a paladin.
Mm-hmm.
The galley pally.
All of you guys start booking after Cato. Cato, you are keeping up with Cinque as he heads into the, you know, the darker part of the woods. Everybody else, you guys lose Cato and you lose Cinque.
Sarayath immediately stops.
Back. Yes, what excellent help it was to bring Cato, and then we lost him.
I'm sure that we can find him again.
Yeah. How?
Well, give me...
Can I roll...
10 seconds.
I turn on the lights.
Yeah, I guess...
So, before we go on a little bit more, Alden, as you pull up your shield and you start, you know, moving your light around, it seems like the darkness is swallowing up more of the light and it's less effective in this part of the woods.
As we go deeper in, I figure?
Yes.
Okay.
And Sarayath, you look at your the book that you're holding, and it is more, you guys are deeper into the area of where the blip is going. And then Kira, yes, I'm sorry for cutting you off so many times.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Can I make a survival roll to try to track Cato or refind his where he's gone?
Yes, but at disadvantage.
Just because it's so dark or?
That and also you lost track of him the first time.
Okay. Well, I got one of them is a nat 20, the other one is a 17.
All right. Well, you know our house rule. If you roll a nat 20 on disadvantage, you get to keep it.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like looking through, making sure that you find the smallest bit of anything that could be helpful, and you find a very small, minuscule, you would have totally missed it had you not looked in this general direction. You find a broken branch, and beneath that, you find a footprint that leads further in, straight ahead.
I think I got him. All right. This way.
Follow.
Okay.
Alden?
As we're going, I'm going in deeper, and I notice the darkness becoming a bit stronger, the light becoming a little bit weaker. I will try to get close to Sarayath and quietly under my breath just say, I can't go through another. And I'll try to just give them a quick tap, and I'll cast Death Ward.
Oh, Alden, are you worried? Death on your mind?
I don't know what you're talking about, and I'll continue moving forward.
I don't like this, Sarayath feeling superior in their emotional intelligence than everyone else. That's not how this goes. How dare you? Absolutely right. Not.
So let's go to Kato and Cinque. Cinque, you come up to Cinque, Kato, and you're both, he's like down, squatted, and he kind of like holds his hand back and just, you know, points at something ahead.
Am I able to make it out or?
Just barely. You focus your eyes, you get down low, and you are barely able to see what this thing is. You see a couple of tails, like I would say tentacles almost, with large pods on the back of them. This creature looks to be some kind of cat, but it's bigger than any cat you've ever seen. It has about four tail tentacle pods, and it looks down on the ground, almost pawing at something. And it sniffs the air. And you hear Cinque is like a couple of feet in front of you. And you see clearly this creature in this clearing, just kind of, you know, padding around. And you see Cinque put his hand down, and you hear him say, "Oh, that's a clever girl." And he disappears as he gets taken out by this creature.
Hunter's buck. Kato will see that happen. And is the creature still where Cinque was?
No, it's gone.
It's just,
as is Cinque.
It just completely poofed out of like, it's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel like, well, yeah, Kato's not smart enough, but wise enough to know not to go, "Cinque, where'd you go?" But, yeah, he'll kind of run up to where Cinque was and try and see if there's any evidence of where it could have gone.
Give me an investigation check, please.
Sure.
Or survival, whichever one.
Sure. Well, I'm going to pick survival then. Let's go. That's and a 19.
Do remember on all of your rolls, guys, you do have inspiration that you can use. You guys hoard inspiration and don't use it. And I feel like you could have used it a couple of times.
But just like, this game. Yeah. What if I don't have inspiration when I really need it, Birdo?
What if I need those 100 potions, okay?
Yeah. What if I need all these potions. Brooms that I stole from all these houses?
All of these cheese wheels. So what did you roll?
19 total.
All right. So you kind of get down low and you start, you know, looking in the area to see, you know, what happened. Because he was here a second ago and now he's gone. You don't see him. You don't even see any paw prints or anything near where he was taken out. Which is super weird. Because there should be some kind of sign of a struggle here. But the only thing that you see is Cinque's footprints. And then they disappear. Do you venture out further ahead or no?
No, definitely okay. Not.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, man, what would Kato do?
Do we come up at any point? Or?
Yeah, I almost feel like I would wait for them. Or there's no way to really signal them without being a target. So I just kind of.
As you're searching the area, Kato, you hear a movement in the brush behind you.
I whip around with my swords out.
You see Kato in front of you with, you know, arm to bear. Is that the phrase? Is that correct? Bear to arm? Something with bears.
No, arm. Yeah. Arm to bear, I think, is correct.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You say arm to the teeth. It's also a thing you say. Anyway.
Yeah.
Whoa, Kato. It's okay. We're here. Where's the gnome guy?
Well, we were correct about there being some sort of beast in the woods. Uh-huh. And
Kerlik looks around and draws her sword.
Well, I would, it seems to quickly dissipate and took Cinque, and I don't know where it went.
I checked the book.
You are deep in the area of this meep. It's pulsing still. You guys are there.
Still in the area. So not completely gone.
Yeah. Obviously, I asked, like, how, like, what they look like. And did you see anything weird or specific about them? Like, how did they disappear? Did they just...
I'll describe the tentacles and that it looked kind of like a...
Walking away. Where is the exit?
Yeah, it looked like a big cat with a tentacle tail. That's right, isn't it? Birdo?
Never seen
that. I'm sorry, what?
It looked like kind of like a big cat with a tail that's four tentacles.
Yes, it looked like a giant panther.
Yep. So I'll describe it, and and Kato would say, I don't know where it went.
Was it just one that you saw?
That I saw.
Sarayath closes the book and hands it to Kira.
No. Okay.
And draws their weapon.
The meeping stops.
We have obtained the location and have confronted the creature. And I do believe that it is time that we put it inside the book. It's a cat, right? So it's a hunter?
Ambush predator.
Figure.
Right. I'm going to start climbing a tree. I'm going to do that. Can I do that?
Oh, yeah, of course. You can climb a tree.
Awesome.
Please, be my guest.
I saw that look.
I will climb a tree.
I saw that look.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So I turns to the nearest tree, looks up. Can they even see? Like, it says, since it's in a natural darkness, I'm assuming that my vision has lessened to about 30 feet.
Man, you are so good at assuming.
I know. Is it? Assumption?
It is.
Yeah, it's a correct...
It's the correct thing. You are
it's
correct.
It's the correct thing, yes.
Yeah.
So...
But one day, you will make an ass out of you and me.
Well, currently I'm just handicapping myself, but that's fine because it's in the spirit of the story. Moving on. Knowing nothing about ambush predators, because they assume that ambushes happen on the ground, Sarayas will start to climb, unless anybody has anything else to say.
Yeah, I don't. I probably would open myself to divine senses and see if I can try to help pinpoint its location in that way.
Okay.
Which I can. I use this so often to so
you
little
really
avail.
You really do. And it surprises me that you don't know the verbiage for it completely by heart.
I can tell to you right now, which is presence of strong evil registers in your senses and powerful good. As well. As an action, I can open my awareness to detect such forces. Until the end of my next turn, I know the location of any celestial fiend undead within 60 feet that's not behind total cover.
Is that in just the current realm that you're in?
You know, it doesn't really provide for what happens on other planes of existence. So I think
cool.
That's a DM.
That's all I needed to know.
It's a DM call. I also, within the same radius, I detect the presence of any place or object that has been consecrated or desecrated.
Okay, so there's no consecration. There's definitely no desecration, but this place reeks of evil. The entire area, I would say the entire diameter of this whole place is just evil. Evils are us.
Now that the meep stopped. Yeah. I was going to try peeking into the book that the meeping has stopped to see if there was more, but it was okay.
No.
The book was as useful as it was going to be. So
Sarayath, you start climbing this tree.
Give me
I'm sorry, what?
31.
I was about to ask you for a roll too. Look at you. You are lithe as a panther yourself.
And I immediately attempt to hide with a 28.
Then you are not only hidden, you are not only hidden from your party, but you're hidden from God and everything else.
Can I see the stars? Like, can Can I reach up out of, is it like a dome? You
cannot see the stars. The canopy is blocking most of the vision of the area. Plus this inky darkness that is just there is not helping matters at all.
Oops, fail.
But you are hidden. You are well hidden.
Kato, do you have experience like setting traps for creatures?
Well, a little. Yeah, I can, well, I had a pretty wicked idea that I think you're going to hate. So,
Well, let's have it.
We need bait, and we got a horse. That isn't actually going to die, as far as I know.
I really don't love the idea of testing that.
Yeah.
Okay. What if something else was bait? Like
an acorn falls from a tree.
Well, you got any? Crud. No.
Yeah, no. What if you guys go into like back up a little bit and leave me out here and I'll be the bait.
Don't like that. So the thing is it seems to disappear with its quarry.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if Betsy disappears, you can call it back.
Can I? Probably. Is that okay?
It's your horse. I don't know. Like,
okay. Do I?
But I guess you're bait, we're gonna lose you, and that's the bottom line.
Speaking of the trees, can I get a? Just an image of what the vicinity is to each other right now is. I know that Sarayath is up in a tree about, let's say, 20 feet up, lying in wait on a branch. Kato and Kira are talking to each other, probably within 5 feet of each other.
Yeah, I'd say around the bushes.
Yeah, and Alden is near the tree, near Kira.
I'd be close or near the tree that Sarayath is at, probably okay. With the tree towards their back, the shield. Not necessarily putting a spotlight on Kato and Kira, mm-hmm. but more like on the side so I can still kind of keep an eye on them, but scanning the area.
Okay. Alden, give me a perception check, please.
Okay. Ooh, it is 11 plus. Why aren't you going? There we go. Perception 3, so 14.
Ooh, just enough. Just enough. As you're kind of standing next to the tree, your back's next to it, the air feels a bit heavy as you're here, and you can hear your heartbeat, paying attention to it. And as you're kind of moving the light from your shield in just any general direction, it comes up on what appears to be a giant black paw that is about 15 feet directly to your, let's say, right center. It hasn't moved yet, but you've noticed it. You don't know if it's noticed you.
I do like a quick whistle. I figure Sarayath and I would have developed some sort of communication.
Yeah, back in season 2, when we were walking to Ursinae, we had an entire Excel spreadsheet. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
I can pull
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
wow. Yeah.
I had asked a question before, and I do remember Chelsea said that. Yeah.
I don't know if I should give this to you guys. Like, I can check the tape, but that's going to be me going back and digging through an episode.
I just sent you the Google Doc. It's on there. Remember the left shoe protocol? If somebody lost their left shoe?
You know what? Fine. Fuck it. I will give you guys a small thing here.
Okay.
I will toss you out a small lifesaver.
I'll do that. I'll do a quick whistle to grab their attention, and then just kind of point, and then not shine the light up to where the creature is, but like keep it on the paw and just move it around so that they're able to see.
Sarayath.
Yeah.
What you hear is the very familiar whistle of Alden Wallaby that is telling you that he needs your attention.
Oh, very good.
You look down and you see his hand motion over to the right center of his location.
All right.
So northeast of his direction, basically.
Right. Okay, well, I can't see over there, so I guess I light a candle and toss it in the general area.
Do you look in the direction that he motions at?
Yeah, obviously. Okay, can I not? Yeah.
So you look in the direction that he's motioning to.
Uh-huh.
Everyone else, you guys hear, like, brush crashing, and Alden is gone.
What?
Son of a. Okay.
Alden.
Mm-hmm.
You're lying face down in the mud.
Struggle to get up. Is it?
You hear a voice. Man. Is that how pathetic I look? He puts his hand down to pick you up.
I look up. Do you recognize the hand?
Yes. You have very intimate knowledge of this hand.
Okay. I've had weird dreams, visions before, but this is very odd. I'll reach out and grab the hand.
You're telling me. He picks you up. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
And he smacks you with a mace.
Like, hard enough to knock me down, or just like...
Hard enough to knock you down. He goes over to you as you're just kind of like rubbing your face because he just hit you with the mace. You're so weak and pathetic. I can't believe that I am fashioned after you. Why couldn't it be the other way? If only you were a bit more brutal, more vicious. You might have been able to save your friends.
Don't start that.
Too late. He takes out the bag of holding. He opens it up. And he puts it over your head.
I'll try to prevent it. And I'll, like, one hand will try to stop the bag. And the other will try to go and, like, just punch him on the side. Just try to struggle out of it.
The last thing you hear, Alden, your friends would be better off with me.
No, they wouldn't. And I do I pass out?
That's where we end our episode.
Rude.
A little bit.
I mean, yeah. Rude.
Rude Alden's coming out.
Security. Look, Ari, I already had to deal with the fact that you're like secretly a dragon, and now I gotta deal with like a secret Nega Alden. This is no.
It's giving secrets, Alden.
The complete opposite of Alden. He will give you all of the secrets. He will not keep any secrets from you. But yeah, that was our episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Looks like the party is on the hunt for another one of the magical tome creatures. So that's fun. I do want to remind you all that we do have a Patreon that you can be a part of that will give you access to specific awesome things on our Discord. Also, I am going to be giving a special shout out to you guys each episode. So I guess I'm starting now because my Patreons gave me their things. And here we go. This goes out to my pink and purple beholder that loves magic beans, my deck saving throw of 11, my tissue box of cranberry soda. I will never love another as much as I love you. You are the DM I want to be and the watermelon of my soul, William McCoy. Thank you, William, for your support. We appreciate you greatly. And the next one, the source of so many of my nightmares, Derek Shore. Derek, I want to say thank you so much for all of the horror that you've put me through over the years. It's just been so, so amazing. I want to give another shout out to the other patrons in our Patreon. I want to give a shout out to Silvius Socia, who is, you know, giving us all of his monies for all of the months, just started recently. So thank you for all of the support that you've given us over the 1 month that you've been here, because man, that month was rough, but then you came in and you did your thing. So appreciate you greatly. I want to give a shout out to Metal Will as well. Metal Will, thank you so much for your support on all of the cool things that you've done for us. All of the cool things. Been supporting us for about 2 months now, so thank you for that. I also would like to shout out to Jax. Jax just believing in our show so much that she's put her own money into this production that we have.
Wow.
So
I did not think that you were going to do this, and I deeply regret everything that has brought us to this pass.
I mean, I could sing your songs for many days about everything that you've, you know, done for this podcast, Jax. The support that you've shown, the love, the food, the times, that time that you baked a pizza for the party and nobody showed up, but you still did it, you know, and you didn't complain about it afterwards.
What?
Does nobody remember this?
He's making things up.
Am I making things up? Am I?
Yeah. Okay. I should have said no. What am I doing? You got a yes and, baby.
What pizza? I would have been so sad.
So, yes, there are others on my list that I cannot find right now, which is very, very.
So I suppose I'll have to tune in for next time.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at that cliffhanger.
Yeah,
it's cool. That's right.
Yes. The King Ray. King Ray is also, pledged his loyalty to our podcast by becoming a Patreon. So thank you so much for your contribution. You were one of the first. You were actually one of the first that has stayed with us for the so many months that you've been a Patreon. So thank you so much for your patronage, King Ray. We appreciate you greatly. Otherwise, those are the Patreons for this month. If you want to have your name read out, you can send me something weird and funny like Mr. McCoy did, and I will read it out because that's the kind of person that I am. So please don't write weird things. That was super weird.
You asked for it now.
Yeah, I know, right?
You opened the floodgates.
Oh God. Let's hope so, but let's hope it's not like, you know, crazy. Anyways, thank you guys so much for your patronage. Thank you guys so much for listening to our episode. Remember, you guys can go on our Discord and become part of the community and talk about it, where you can take a look at all of the fun memes that we posted for today's episode. You can take a look at Soriath's physical digital journal that they write for all of the episodes and character.
Dirtchel.
The Dirtchel. I love that. That's what it's going to be called now. It is now your Dirtchel.
It is amazing. That PDF, it really was
Yeah,
yeah, no, it totally was.
Yeah, like, wow, it really it's was. So good. No, like I was gonna be like, it's so good. Imagine not paying to see it. Oh my god, what fools you
coming
are!
Coming soon, the Excel spreadsheet for all of the protocols involved in possibly losing your left shoe.
I swear to God, if you make one, I'm gonna be so upset.
It's there.
It's there. It's really there.
Yeah. No, is it is really? There. Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh god.
If
no,
you look at
no,
the journal, there's a section for it.
Yeah, if you look at the dirtual.
Oh my god. Wow.
See, wow. You think you've planned for everything. You just didn't plan for Soriath.
Wow. Fuck, man. Now I'm going to have to give that to you guys because you have it physically. Or, you
who
know,
would win? A DM or one weird elf?
Who writes way too much.
I love it, though. It's awesome.
All right. Well, that was our episode today. Thank you guys so much. Join us again next time on Tales of Azeron.
Azeron.